on proverbs concerning our speech, our tongue. We're going to get into a section now that deals with foolish, mostly with foolish speech, with some aspects of speech that we certainly consider to be sinful, for instance, hypocrisy, but generally foolish talk, foolish speech. One thing that a foolish person does is they refuse to listen to wisdom. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9. So speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. When it comes to the use of our speech, sometimes there comes a point in time when we're dealing with someone who's foolish, who's hard-headed, who simply refused to listen to what we've got to say to them, where it comes time to just move on. Like the expression Christ used, casting pearls before swine. Sometimes in trying to convince someone of their actions, trying to teach them, because of their attitude, there simply comes a time when it's time to move on. And some people are simply that way. Another foolish use of speech can be seen in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. Where it talks about hypocrisy. It says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, for through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Hypocrisy is one of those sins that most often involves the use of the tongue, the use of our speech, where a person will profess to be one thing when they're not, or they will profess to believe that a certain thing is true and yet will not abide by that teaching themselves. And this is not only foolish, but as we can see in many different passages, it's also a sinful use of the tongue. And then there are those that use their tongue to encourage wickedness. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." So the wicked person here is advising someone to wait for blood or to ambush someone to rob them. Now that harkens back to some of the things that we saw in chapters 1 through 9, where the young man is warned about the company that he keeps because the advisor there doesn't want the young man to fall into bad company who's going to encourage him to become involved in dishonest gain, and in particular through becoming wealthy through robbing people. And that is certainly a common use of the tongue. There are people all around us in the world who would encourage us verbally to engage in all kinds of sinful activities. And let's look also at chapter 15 and verse 28. It says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." So a righteous person will take care about his answer. he will study or work to be able to give a good answer to questions, a wise answer. But the mouth of the wicked person is just simply a source of wicked things. Can you think of a New Testament passage that talks about the wickedness inside of a person finding expression in what they say? An occasion when Christ was teaching his disciples. So it's what proceeds out of a person's mouth that defiles them. And the reason for that is what? Okay. Okay, so that's the source, the mind and the heart. And that's why that is so defiling. And that's why a person's speech that's spoken of here in Proverbs is wicked, because he is wicked inside. And that's why a fool's speech is foolish, because they are foolish at heart. A foolish person tends to be hurtful in their speech. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. It says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart, I'm reading verse 8, it should be 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So a wise person is going to be someone, when you listen to them, they are generally going to make you feel better, hopefully. But a wicked person, a foolish person, their speech is very often very hurtful. Now, what are some of the things that we've talked about already where a person's speech can be hurtful to others? Gossip? Slander? All right, false witnesses? What are some other ways that we might think of as being maybe a little bit milder than slander and gossip and false witness, but are still ways that a foolish person can hurt others with their speech? Yes, sir. Okay, they can be discouragement to others. Maybe criticize them in an untactful way. You know, we talked about how it's wrong to flatter people, and yet at the same time, it's not good to be too blunt when you're trying to help someone improve. To find a tactful way to tell them that they need to do something a little bit differently, but a foolish person. Person without tact, without social skills, can be very hurtful when they talk to someone about subjects like that. And they can be very discouraging. What are some other ways that a person can be hurtful in their speech to others if they're not careful in their speech? Yes, sir. Very good comment. All right, any other questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Fairly well-known passage. It says, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor." Another characteristic of foolish people is that they tend to make light of very serious subjects. And certainly we would be hard-pressed to find a more serious subject than the subject of sin. But it says here that fools will make a mock at sin. In our world today, things that we consider to be very serious subjects along the line of sin are the subject of jokes and coarse stories. People make a mock at the very idea that we would consider certain things to be sinful. And sin, and those that consider sin to be what it is, become the objects of joke and humor. But at all levels, we need to be careful that we don't treat serious subjects lightly. And sin is certainly an extreme example of a serious subject that people make a mock at. There are other subjects as well. We need to be careful in our handling of it, because they are serious subjects and they need to be treated as such. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 23. In 14:23 it says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." Of course, penury is another way of saying leads to poverty, being poor. So what's the writer of Proverbs really saying in the latter part of verse 23 here? Okay, idle chatter. So idle chatter leads to poverty. And I'm sure most of us have had experiences in our lives where we've seen people that pretty much have that kind of thing happen to them. Do you have a comment? Oh, okay. But in fact, I can recall a few years back, there was a young lady that moved into an office across the hall from me, and pretty soon became kind of a social gathering place for a lot of the younger people in the office. There was a lot of chatter, a lot of talk going on, and they frankly got rowdy enough a few times where I'd have to close my office door so I could work. And they had some cutbacks in the program she was working on, and guess who was one of the first people out the door? Her office was empty pretty quickly. I've worked with other people who were self-employed, who didn't keep their business very long because they just liked to talk and visit instead of working. But outside of the area of business, just the making of money, what are other areas where things go undone because of a lot of idle talking, because people would rather chat than get down to business? Okay. If you're not from the person doing the talking. Okay. So we do need to be very careful how we listen and who we listen to. But there are a lot of areas where sometimes work goes undone because people want to spend too much time talking. I've seen some business meetings and congregations where the church didn't have elders, and the men would try to meet for a business meeting, and you'd didn't have somebody that could take the lead in the business meeting in such a way as to direct it so that business got done. And a lot of time was wasted with idle chatter back and forth. So it can affect many areas of our lives. So we need to exercise some restraint in the amount of talking that we do sometimes, especially when that talking is simply idle in nature. Okay. One of those areas where the more you talk, the more chance there is that you're going to get yourself in trouble, especially in the area of idle talk. That's a good verse to keep in mind. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, that's a good point. Hey, you go to a meeting like that, there's a lot of talking, and everybody ends up just sort of verbally spinning their wheels, and nothing ever goes anywhere. All right, let's look at some things that the Bible has to say about the wise man and his speech. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of excellent spirit. What does it mean that he that hath knowledge spareth his words? All right, he uses wisdom. Does a person who has confidence in his knowledge of a subject, for instance, have to feel like he has to impress everybody with his knowledge of that subject?
Well, you find people not on that one. In other words, if a person has knowledge of a subject, in other words, he can use that subject, but he doesn't have to do a lot of power talking on each side. Mm-hmm. Like people believe.
That's right. What's your impression if you ask somebody a question and all of a sudden they launch into this big, long speech about the subject, and then they get through and you scratch your head and you wonder, what exactly is it that they just got through saying? You've asked the wrong person. There's a tendency on the part of some people to try to cover up their ignorance with a lot of words. And they'll try to bluff their way through, making you think they know about a subject, but when you get through and you analyze what they've said, they really haven't said anything useful. And a wise person is not that way. And we need to be careful when somebody asks us a question. If we don't know the answer, just say, I don't know, or I'll have to look into that, or I'm not really that up to speed on that subject. And if you do know the answer, give a straightforward answer. There's a lot of verbal smoke that gets blown when people don't really know the subject they're talking about. Yeah, we accuse politicians of that very, very often.
That makes worse. There's
Yes, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. What's the old expression that it's better to be quiet and let people think you're ignorant than to open your mouth and remove all doubt? And not only that, but people tend to have more respect for somebody who is restrained with their speech, and who, when they do talk, they say something that's worth listening to. And they have a lot more respect for that kind of person than they do for someone who's just always running their mouth, talking about things that, you know, they may or may not know anything about, and that the listener may or may not be interested in hearing. Yes, we need to be very careful what we listen to and the sources that we accept when it comes to important things like that. Pardon? He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. This is a good verse. Going back to what we said earlier about, for instance, the people that mock at sin, that will mock at people that are trying to do right and then turn around and defend those that are doing wrong. What's some areas where that happens very often in our world today? Where people try to justify wickedness and then condemn those that call wickedness what it is. All right. And I think also the area, for instance, of homosexuality today. A lot of effort is being extended to justify that type of behavior, and those that do not accept it are condemned, sometimes very, very harshly. That's right. All right, let's look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So a person that is of a faithful spirit will conceal a secret. Isn't that the kind of friends and associates that we would prefer to have? Someone who, if they know something personal about us, that we would prefer other people not know. And we can depend on that person. But they're not going to reveal that information. And of course, here it's not talking about somebody that knows, for instance, that a person has done wrong and then simply ignores it. But it's someone who knows a secret, who knows a private matter, and has the wisdom not to reveal that to someone who doesn't need to know that information. And people appreciate that, and people value that kind of trait in a friend. to a person that knows when to speak and when to be silent is greatly appreciated. Let's look also at chapter 27, and verse 14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. So here you have the picture of somebody that's got a friend who rises early in the morning and maybe comes up to the friend's door and he's calling out to them, maybe even calling out a blessing to him. But what's the friend here in the context of this verse probably still doing? He's probably still asleep. Now, no matter how much you like someone, if you're tired and you're sleepy, do you want them knocking on your door or calling you on the telephone or otherwise disturbing you? Probably not. This is one of those occasions where having the discretion to know when to talk and when to be silent is appreciated. And also goes back to the idea of excessive talking. There are some times when silence is what is called for. And this is a proverb that again emphasizes the idea there's a time to talk, a time to be quiet. There's a time to socialize with people, and there's a time to leave people alone. Let's look at chapter 25 and verse 11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. What makes a word fit? When is a word fitly spoken? And I would submit that there's more than one thing that makes it a fitly spoken word. What would be one thing? All right. Well, the motive behind it is good, when its purpose is good. Pardon? Timing. Going back to what we said in the last verse, there are times when people don't want you talking to them, when it's not the right time to say something. So the timing is important. And then what else? All right, when it's said with love, and when the content is appropriate to the occasion. So when the motivation, and motivation, of course, should be love for the person, when the timing is right, and when the wording is correct. That's a word fitly spoken. And the individual that can put all those together into their speech is a wise person indeed. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, and verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So the righteous person's speech is acceptable, and that is contrasted with the mouth of the wicked person whose speech is frowardness, or being arrogant, being foolish and evil in their talk. When it says the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, acceptable to whom? To God. He knows what is acceptable to God. His speech is guarded and considered carefully so that what he says will be acceptable to God. Recall that we're told that we'll have to give an account for every idle word, so we need to give a good deal of thought to our speech. Let's look at Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Proverbs 13 and verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So a wise person guards his speech. He's careful about his words. He's not just a fountain of words. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The more you talk, the more occasion that you have of saying something that you shouldn't say. Let's look also at chapter 16 and verse 23. It says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. So again, going back to the idea that the heart is the source of what we say, and that being the case, then we should be very careful that what we say reflects what is truly in our heart, and guard our speech carefully. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, verses 20 and 31. First, in verse 20, it says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little work. And then skipping down to verse 31, it says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. So there's value for what the wise person says. And other people of wisdom and discretion will come to learn that and place value on what is said by the wise person. Let's look at chapter 15 and verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So again, we see the contrast between the wise person and their use of their speech and the foolish person. In addition to the being valued in his speech, people find the speech of the wise to be refreshing and life-giving. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 again, and this time we'll look at verse 11. Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. How is it that the mouth of a righteous person can be a well of life? How can that be the case? Okay, he was going to be able to teach people how to live, the type of things that a righteous person is going to talk about are going to pertain to what? What kind of things? Good things, godly things. We see throughout the Bible that one of the things that defines a righteous person is he is a person who wants to teach other people about God, wants to teach other people about God's Word, what He said, what it takes to be a righteous person yourself. So in that respect, a righteous person, their speech is going to be a well of life. Now let's look at verse 21. Of chapter 10. It says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So the lips of the righteous feed many. And here I don't think it's necessarily talking about teaching people how to make a living physically, but feeding them spiritually. That is the work of a righteous person. And the person who has gained wisdom is to try and relay what they have learned to others. As Look at chapter 11 and verse 11. It says, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." And here we have a contrast. The city is saved by listening to the righteous person, but it's lost by listening to the mouth of the wicked person. Certainly that's something that in a society like we live in today, where we are able to have a hand in choosing the people that run the government, to be very careful about who we choose and be very careful about exercising that responsibility. When we choose wise people, what they say and what they do can be good for the country or it can destroy it. Look at chapter 12 and verse 18. Talked about this verse when we were discussing the harm that can be done by foolish speech. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." In what sense is the tongue of the wise health? Well, the tongue of the wise will help people who have problems in their lives find solutions to those problems. May not necessarily always be what the person would like to hear, but it'll be what they need to hear. So the tongue of the wise person helps in what they say. Okay, so a person who's wise in their speech can use their abilities to diffuse situations where people are at odds with one another. And when it comes to the people that we associate with and the people that we listen to, when it comes to our spiritual health, we need to apply that same principle. Look at chapter 12 and verse 17. It says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." So another way that we can make judgments about other people, and another way that we can say things about ourselves, is in the quality of our speech. When we speak the truth, when we speak righteousness, then it shows what we have inside of us. Let's look at chapter 21 and verse 23. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." So we can avoid a lot of trouble if we're careful in our speech. It's our tongue that gets us into trouble more often than not. And it is certainly an area where we need to exercise caution and where we can make our lives a lot easier if we're careful. Let's look at chapter 15 and verse 1, and then we'll stop. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So again, the wise person is someone who knows how to use his speech to make the situation better, whereas the foolish person, the more they talk, the worse things are going to get. We'll stop here and appreciate everyone's attention and participation.
Before you go, before you go, these guys are passing out material for next quarter. Starts next Sunday. Jeff Smith will be teaching the book of Job. And get one of these and fill out the first two lessons. Lesson one is introduction. There's no writing in it. Lesson two has got some questions. But Jeff asked that you get lessons one and lesson two done for next Sunday. And they're giving out one per family right now to make sure we get around. And if that's we need some more of that, Jeff will get them done. But see how they come out. And also this material will be on the website if you want to download it from there. But get lessons one and two for next Sunday in the book of Job for Jeff. Thank you.